Hey, this is Jim Larrabee. I'm the lead pastor here at First Christian Church, and this is our podcast. My prayer is that the words you hear encourage you, that they challenge you, that they build your faith and draw you closer to Jesus. So, enjoy. Hey, happy 4th of July weekend, church family. How you doing today? Good? Yeah. Man, this is like my third most favorite Sunday. You know, obviously there's Easter, big dog deal, Super Bowl around here. There's Christmas and then 4th of July weekend, which I love because we're celebrating the freedom that we have in our country, which is absolutely powerful and unique around the world. And I love that. And so we're doing a lot of things. So obviously the fireworks stuff that's going on, when you walked in, you're probably wondering about the people dressed up and those kind of thing. If you're brand new to us, you're possibly even questioning, what church did I just walk into? What is going on here? Our students, every year they do a fireworks booth where they are selling fireworks to raise money for camps. That Tijuana trip was supported through the fireworks booth. And so where the old Toyota is, right across from Buffalo Wild Wings, we got our fireworks people back there. And so go, if you're looking to get your boom boom on, then go to the fireworks to get it happening. And I think they're open all the way until July 4th, making everything go on there. So that's awesome. Be a part of that. Obviously, our students getting back from Tijuana. It was an amazing trip. God did some incredible stuff. A lot of things happening in the life of the church and ministry. The app, let me encourage you, download the app. We mentioned it last week. We had over 400 downloads already. And so we just want you to get the information in your hands. So download that FCC app. Events are on there. Bible studies are on there. Everything that we can think of, we put it on that app. Even prayer. If you need prayer, hit the prayer link. Boom. We get an email and we start praying for you. It is a great tool to use in the life of the church. So make sure you're doing that. And of course, big thing happening today, FCC party. I don't know what else to call it. 4th of July celebration party. 11 o'clock. Some of your kids right now are in like the children's ministry, not paying attention whatsoever. They're just at the window. So that's okay, because at 11 o'clock, we're going to kick this thing off, right? We're going to have a great party out there celebrating everything from, you obviously saw the 700-foot slide that you can go down. We'll have laser tag. We'll have bounce houses. Snow cone machines are getting up and running. Hot dogs will be for sale for $1. I think you'll get a bag of chips and a drink for that. So anyway, so great stuff going on in just a few moments. The big question, honestly, we have today, are we even going to do third service? There may be 7 folks that show up, because I guarantee you they're going to walk past the party and go, not today, Jesus, not today. So anyway, so we'll see if we do third service. I don't know. Anyway, good stuff going on in the life of the church. We have a blast around here, but most of all, we work on loving Jesus. That's the whole point. You're here to experience his heart, his grace, his truth, and that's what we're diving into in worship. We got a word for you today, a little bit out of our series that we've been doing in the beginning, God, but still connected. It's something that we're going to talk about today, which is basically freedom. So let me just kind of start with this question. How many of you guys have ever in person seen the Statue of Liberty? Been there, seen it, kind of touched it, those kind of things? Quite a few of you. How many of you guys have ever actually just seen it in a picture? Yeah, I'm gonna go throw the picture up. That's just so we can get all the hands. There you go. Now all of you can join in and be a part of this. Like this. So this is the Statue of Liberty. I've never been in there in person, but I've seen it. You know, obviously know about it, read about it. If you've ever been there, then you know at the very base of the Statue of Liberty is a plaque that has these words. Or I'm gonna just read a portion, but it kind of speaks to what the Statue of Liberty is all about. The words at the bottom are these. From her beaconed hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep ancient land, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. But I give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuge of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempted, tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside that golden door. Beautiful words of freedom written at the base of the Statue of Liberty. And if you ever go there and you can look down from the top, at her feet are these broken chains that they put on the statue that represents freedom from oppression and freedom from servitude that many people experience when they come to America. She holds a torch. We see it in the picture. We saw it in the picture. She holds a torch, 305 feet in the air, which is a light of liberty for all the world to see. Of all the statues in all the world, the Statue of Liberty stands for freedom. And our country has been a beacon of that freedom for hundreds of years. A beautiful picture of who we are as a country represented in this statue. Well, as much as I love that freedom, and I love talking about that freedom and living in that freedom that was bought with such a great price by our military and by our leaders and by our people that bring us the opportunity to do what we do, as great as that freedom is, I want to give you a truth. This is not for me. I heard it from Dr. Tony Evans years ago, but it stuck with me. He said these words, "Freedom, as good and amazing as it is in our country, freedom is not something that belongs to a single country. Freedom is not something that just belongs to a single nation or even to a single people. Freedom is God's gift to everyone." And that is a powerful, powerful truth that echoed in Jesus' word in John chapter 8. You don't get very far in the Gospels hearing Jesus preach, hearing Jesus talk, when you begin to hear him talk about freedom. And he says powerful words, but in John chapter 8, he gives us this statement. If the Son sets you free, my friend, you will be free indeed. But here's the deal. If we just be honest with you this morning, here's the deal. We often misunderstand the freedom that God gives, right? Especially in our culture and our country where we're all about freedom, it can be really easy to misunderstand the freedom that God gives because it's never been, in all of Scripture, it's never been freedom to just do whatever you want. If you were just kind of to ping people in culture about what they think freedom is, eventually this idea will come up that freedom is just you do you. Yeah, you do you, whatever you is, you do you. But the problem with that is eventually you doing you is going to impact somebody else. In fact, there's a lot of things going on in our country right now where you doing you is impacting other people who are doing themselves. One of the biggest things happening is the tension around the conversation with transgender athletes. You know, that's a great example of the wrestle that's going on with that philosophy that freedom is really you doing you. That actually leads to chaos. Somebody loses. Culture's freedom always puts someone in chains. I tell you that culture's freedom, if you follow it to the end, always puts someone in chains. But God in his wisdom, God in his mercy, God in his grace, he never defined freedom as us being free to do whatever. Never has. Even in the Garden of Eden, when everything was perfect, and we've mentioned the Garden of Eden a couple of times over the past few weeks, but even there in perfection, when God set us completely free, I mean, if there was ever a time to be free as people, it would have been in the Garden of Eden when everything was perfect and God just simply said, go and do. In fact, his actual words are, you can enjoy everything. Everything that I've created in this garden, you go and enjoy and you eat. Those apples you eat, those oranges you eat, those prunes you eat, but not too many. Just heads up. So anyway, he gave us all that. There was even a second tree. We talk about the first tree in the garden, but I don't know if you know, there was a second tree, a second special tree in the garden. It was called the Tree of Life. And if Adam and Eve would have gone to that tree and eaten of that tree, then it would have given them physical immortality forever in their perfection. Even God said about that tree, go and eat. He didn't hold it from them. He said, go. I'd have started with that tree. You know, the whole thing. He gave them everything. But he did say this, in all of that perfection, in all of that freedom, he did give them a limitation. He said, there is one thing that you cannot do. There's this other tree in the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That tree is off limits. So even in the most ultimate perfection of freedom we could ever have, there are even limits that God placed on us. And obviously there was a reason for it. He told them, he said, hey, if you eat of this tree, I'm not gonna hide it from you. If you eat of that tree, you're gonna die. That fruit somehow or another was detrimental to people physically and spiritually. Last week, somebody asked me, hey, well, if that's true, then does that make that fruit evil? Did God create something evil? No, it just made that fruit dangerous. And God simply said, it is off limits to you and I. Now, let me just kind of read this to you in the actual context of Genesis, because something interesting is going to come to the surface. So let me just read a couple of verses here that describes the situation with that went on in the Garden of Eden. Verse 4 of chapter 3 of Genesis. But and this is kind of in the middle of the whole temptation happening. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. He's pushing back on what he believes or what he's trying to get the woman to believe about the command of God. For God knows that when you eat of it, when you eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Okay, a lot of stuff there, but let's move on because here's what's interesting. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and she ate it. And she also gave to her husband who was right there with her, right by her side, and he ate also. So here's one thing in the story that I definitely want to bring out because I think it's so important to us now. What God says is dangerous doesn't always look dangerous. I mean, here she's standing at this tree and she's, man, this thing looks good. This thing looks great. I mean, this is the most beautiful tree that I've seen in the garden. But God has said it is dangerous. It is off limits. What God sometimes says is dangerous doesn't always look dangerous to us. What God says is wrong does not always look wrong to us. That is exactly how Eve was deceived. So a part of the good and perfect freedom that God gives when he gives these freedoms with limitations is to provide protection. At no point did God just throw us into the world and say, hey, I hope it works out for you. Woo, there's a lot of stuff out there, man. I hope you survive all of that. God didn't do that to us. He gives us his words. He gives us his truth. He provides safety when we could never give that to ourselves. He fights on our behalf even when we don't have the sense to resist on our own. He gives us wisdom. He gives us truth. He gives us strength in the moments that we need it most. He sets us free. Not to go blindly running after the world, falling prey to the pitfalls and the predators and the addictions and the confusion. He sets us free to fully follow the good heart of God. In fact, that's exactly what Jesus gives us. He gives us the freedom to step into everything that God has provided for us. As I was reading Romans just this past week and came across Romans chapter 6. And as I was reading this in the Message Bible, sometimes I change up different styles just to it helps me in my journey with Jesus. And so I was reading in the Message about how God set us free from slavery. He set us free from our old selves. He set us free from sin. He set us free from our old nature. So we're no longer in bondage to the world and to slavery and all those things. And I came across this verse in Romans 6:6, and it says this, and I love it. This is the Message. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to that sin miserable life. No longer captive to sin's demands. What we believe is this, if we get included in Christ's sin conquering death, we also get included in his life saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end of all. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. But our God speaks our mother tongue, and we hang on every word. You are dead to sin and now alive to God. That, my friend, is what Jesus has done for us. And can I just, yeah, absolutely. Can I just add, if the Son has set you free, My friend, he has set you free indeed. So if I can give you just this first truth of freedom this morning, it would simply be this, is that freedom is not living without restrictions. The truth of freedom is that we truly live free when we live within the boundaries of God's truth and grace. That's what God has done. This whole thing, he said, listen, I want you to live free. I want you to enjoy it. But to truly live free is not to live without restrictions. It's to live within the boundaries of his truth and his grace. Now, I can talk a lot from, you know, the Bible about that, spiritual things like that. But let me just kind of ping from a different angle here, just how important boundaries actually are in our life. Because the deal is we live for having the boundaries removed, right? When we turned 18, what did we think? We are free. I had an 18-year-old in first service. I mean, shout out, we're free, free baby. And I was like, dude, are you like moving out today? What's up? His mom's just looking at him. You know, when we turn 18, what do we want? We want freedom. We want to run. We want to live. No boundaries. Absolutely. We want to do what we want to do. But boundaries are so valuable and so important to us, more than we ever realize. In college, I was a psychology major. I loved it. We did all these studies on all these things, because back in like the 70s and 80s, they could do things that were completely illegal to people and learn crazy stuff. And one of the studies that we had to look at was a group of psychology scientists that took this group of children. You just wait for their parents for a while, and they put them in this building. It was kind of like a school. There were two or three buildings, but they put them in this building, and they fed them lunch. And the kids are like, woo, free lunch, you know, they're eating lunch, doing their thing. And after lunch, they basically let the children free to play. Now, the building was set up this way. There was a couple of buildings that were surrounded by hundreds of yards, like 400, 500, 600 yards of just open fields. I mean, it was just as far as you could see, just open fields and open fields. And so these kids, when they were told you can go just go play, go have fun, they ran out the door and they saw it all. And they ended up playing just right around the building, maybe 20, 25 yards just away from the building. Most all the kids just kind of played in and around the buildings, didn't go very far, all that kind of stuff. And so the psychologist took notes taken. A few weeks later, they brought another group of kids back, maybe the same kids who wanted another free lunch. I have no idea, but they brought another group of kids back. They fed them lunch and they said the same thing, go play. But there was something different about the field at this time. This time they had put up this huge fence, only about 150 yards out, this massive, huge fence that circled everything all the way around, 150 yards, 150 yards, 150 yards. They put all of those up and they told the kids to go play. An unusual thing happened. Instead of the kids playing right around the buildings, you know what those kids did? Man, they went everywhere. It was like chaos. They were playing by the fence, they're playing over here. They were chewing up every bit of that territory to play games, to play tag. It was just crazy. And of course, the psychologist was like, they're writing notes. This is so different. This is so strange. What's going on? What's happening? And so they brought those kids back and they spoke to them and asked them some similar questions that they asked the first group of kids. And it was so surprising what they heard. These kids talked about feeling safer. They talked about feeling more protected. They talked about feeling watched out for because of that fence. And they were able to deduce that we live more free with boundaries than without. And I'm here to tell you that we are just like those kids. I would love to say that the greatest experience of freedom you will have is just to go do whatever you want. But my friend, the true greatest freedom you will have is to live within the boundaries that God has given you. Why? Because in those boundaries, we understand that we're safer. We understand that we're protected. In those boundaries, we understand that we are watched out for. When we trust God's word instead of fighting against it, we realize he's given us this huge playground to play in. He has said, man, go enjoy life, man. I've created you and I've given you gifts and I've given you church family and go enjoy all of that. Just embrace the boundaries that I've put around and you, man, you will live free like nobody's business. You'll live in a way that's not creating issues or traumas that most of us spend a lifetime working to overcome. We aren't believing lies that get embedded in our soul. Man, honestly, most of my adult life is overcoming the lies the enemy told me when I was living outside the boundaries of God's truth. Now, I know some of you look at me and go, Jim, you're a pastor. You have never lived outside the boundaries of God's truth. Yes, thank you very much. That is a lie. If my family was in here, they were going, Thursday, just Thursday, he was living outside the boundaries of God's truth, you know? We all have history and journey of us living as if the boundaries didn't matter, and it was in those places where we were unprotected, and it was in those places where we were just doing our own thing that the enemy steps in, and he lies to us, and he breaks us, and he hurts us, and we carry those wounds, and we carry those hurts, and he does all of those things to us. Now, here's the good news. We talk about this all the time. Absolutely, you walk in here, if you've experienced that journey, if you've been living life outside the boundaries of God's truth and God's word and his grace and his hope, you can walk in here and you can experience restoration. Man, you can come in here and God will heal you, he will renew you, he will set you free, absolutely. But wouldn't it be great to have less to overcome? Man, wouldn't it be great to not walk into church and go, okay, chapter 27. of this 6,000 chapter book of my life that I just need to unpack with Jesus. And that's, let me just speak as a parent. That's what I want to give to my kids. Man, I want to give them the understanding that God's truth is real and his word is real and that his heart is good and that God can be trusted and that we don't have to believe the lies of this world that lead to bondage, that they can trust the boundaries of God that come from his good heart, so then when they get to be my age, they're not unpacking all the junk and all the trauma and all the brokenness. They can truly just live free. And that's what we do as parents. I hope that's what we do as friends. That's what we do for each other. That's what church is, that we help each other experience the freedom that comes from understanding that God's boundaries are good for us because he has a good heart and he wants good things for our lives. And so that's the first freedom truth. I got time to give you just one more because we got a party today. The second freedom truth is simply this: freedom. You ready? Write this down. Freedom is always built on truth. Always is. Same chapter in John. This is like the freedom chapter for Jesus. He speaks these words to us. And you will know the truth. And what will the truth do? Yeah, the truth will set you free. Lies will never, ever set you free. And whenever I'm counseling with someone, I'm talking with someone, I'll always start with two things. One, hey, here's the deal. We do two things around here. We do truth and we do grace. Man, we're going to spend some time talking through truth. What is truth? What is truth about who God is, about who you are, the circumstance, the situation? We're going to do truth. But then once we do the truth, there's absolute grace. Of course, God loves you and cares for you. We're going to meet you where you are. And we're going to walk with you to his glory and his goodness and his greatness. Absolutely. But it is truth first. Because lies, my friend, lies never set you free. I've never once seen a lie set someone free. I've seen a lie let someone escape. Escape from a momentary moment of discomfort. But as far as being set free, absolutely not. Even the lies that sound good, the lies that feel good, the lies that I like. You got any lies you like? Any little pet? Yeah, this is my baby right here. You can take anything, Jesus, but not my precious. And we all have those, right? All have lies that we've just kept in our heart and our soul, you know. This doesn't hurt anyone else, or, you know, no, nobody will know about this, or I deserve this. You know, little lies that we have that absolutely, at the end of the day, are still poison and still keeps us from freedom. And I would suggest some of the greatest bondage we have in our lives are from those lies that look good, that sound good, that we've just kept and we've never been willing to turn loose of. What did Jesus say? Jesus says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And obviously that truth is Jesus Christ as a person, but even more than that, that is his words that he gives us so that we can live truly free. So here's a question that you might ask me, Jim, how do I tell if something's a lie? How do I know? You know, if I like it, it sounds good. How can I tell? Simply this, you can tell what a lie is by comparing it to the truth. Psalms 119:9 says this. This is David speaking, and he just says, how can a young man, a young woman keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. He's talking about God. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes and all of your truth. One of the best things that you can ever do to deal with lies is to live in the truth, is to know the truth, grab his word, read it, engage it, find out what he says about who you are. And identity. Identity is one of the greatest ways the enemy lies to us because it loves to tell us that what culture thinks about who we are is right, and it absolutely is not. Man, what God says about you is true, not what culture. Culture does not set your value. Where you come from doesn't set your value. Your history, your past, your trauma, your circumstance, your situations, your addictions, none of that sets your value. And yet that seems to be where culture is doing all the conversation right now. God sets your value, and God has said you're the most beloved thing that he has in this universe. And he sets that value. He sets that value regardless of what you have done and what you have said and where you have been. He loved us before we ever even began to think about approaching him. And what is that? That is truth. That is truth that we use, truth that we learn from his word that we use to combat the lies that the enemy tells. Because at the end of the day, culture's opinion doesn't stand. My opinion doesn't stand. Your opinion doesn't stand. You know what stands? The only thing that ever stands truly in this world is God's words. Yes. And I'll add just to wrap up, it takes strength to lean into that. Weak people do not follow Jesus in this culture. There was a time, maybe 50 years ago, there was a time when you could just slap the name Christian on you and you could just roll and nobody could tell a difference, but not today. Today, if you're going to claim the name Christ, if you're going to truly follow him, if you're going to grab hold of his truth and you're going to live it, you're going to embrace it in your life, then you're going to need his strength. You're going to need his hope. You're going to need his transformation. You're going to need his church. You're going to need his purpose. You're going to need his heart. You're going to absolutely need his freedom to live on the path that he's placed us as Christ followers who engage him. It takes strength to be a believer in Jesus Christ. That's one of the reasons I love doing what we do. I walk out of here on Sunday mornings, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. I tend not to want to talk to people because I've talked to people all morning long, but when I get home, my heart is full and I feel strength because I've been with God's people who love him, who encourage me to be who he's called me to be. I see my brothers and sisters on the same journey that I am, parenting and doing, you know, either singleness or doing marriage or doing jobs, and we're all doing this thing together, leaning into his strength, because you can't be weak and walk as a Christian in this world. If you feel that weakness, then my friend, you got people that will walk with you. Can I hear the people that will walk with you? You got people that'll walk this journey with you. That is who we are. It is what we do. It is our call from the God of the universe. And that's just a piece of the freedom that he gives. And I hope this morning, or landing the plane here, I hope you grab the challenge. One, that if you don't know Jesus, man, the greatest freedom you will ever have is in Jesus Christ as a person. We'd love to introduce him to you. Prayer room is open. People have been there all morning long. But if you as a Christian, as a Christ follower, you know what's going on in your heart and your life. If you feel like, man, there's some bondage, there's some lies I believe, there's some things I've grabbed hold of, man, today's your day. Just break the chains, man. Just lay them down. Just let Jesus Christ speak hope and life and truth to you and stand in that. Will it take strength? Yes. Will it take work? Yes. But my friend, that is where true freedom is. And God has established the playground that you can go running in. Playground of his grace and his mercy and his hope and his peace and his truth and his love. Man, that is one amazing place to play. And it's what we do every day as Christians and Christ followers. So let me invite you to live in the freedom that Christ gives today. We got one more song we're going to sing. During this time, if God's speaking to you and you want to do some work with him, pray, talk to him. He'd love to talk with you. Prayer room is open. Let him do his work in your heart and your soul. Sing this last song, and then we'll go party. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, your words about freedom challenge my soul. It challenges me because I have to yield. I have to surrender. It's not freedom without boundaries. It's freedom within the boundaries of your truth and your word. And yet that is the place where we are most free. Do not let any of us believe the lies of the enemy about what culture offers as freedom, because it just leads to bondage in heart and soul and spirit and mind. Father, let us live free in the truth of your word and the hope of what you give. Let us live free in your presence. If there's anyone just trapped in that bondage right now, that seriously, Holy Spirit, do your supernatural work. Break those chains. Break that trauma. Break that addiction, Father. Break that lie that's lodged into the heart and soul that the enemy has placed. Father, let today be the freedom day, the independence day for us as Christians in this world. You do your great work in our hearts and lives, and we just lay everything at your feet. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to subscribe and share it with a friend. A special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that this ministry is possible. If you'd like to find out more information about giving or to see what's going on in the life of our church, please visit us at fccsantamaria.org. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.